Amen. Boy, that's the message of the Bible. No one cared for me like Jesus. If you take your Bibles and open up to the book of Ephesians, and you know, we have been studying it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and here we are in chapter 6, verse 10. And we started with chapter 1, and there in chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And the blessings he gives are so great. They are so wonderful. And take a look at some of these blessings in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 4, it says, he chose you. All right? Yeah. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Yeah. Yeah. He cared so much about you. He knows you so well that he chose you. And not only did he choose you, it says he adopted you. You belong now to him, to his family. All right? That's chapter 1, verse 5. And then you go down to verse 6. It says you are accepted. Yeah. If you had any question about whether or not you belong to him, he reemphasizes it. We needed this emphasis, and that's why he did it. And he says, you are accepted. In verse 7, he says, you are redeemed. You are forgiven of all your sins. That's what he said. This is just incredible. And he says, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, yeah, hey, who can forget chapter 2? You are saved by grace. Yeah, you're saved by what God has done, not by what you do. It's not your good works, it's his good works that ultimately matter. All right, chapter 3, he talks about a mystery. Not only was grace a mystery to them, that God would save not just the Jews, but he would save everybody and anybody throughout the world who put their faith and trust in him. It included the Gentiles. He says, God has made the church into one big family, one body. Wow. One body which represents what Christ has done, and Christ now lives within you. He lives within this body. He is the head of the body of this body. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his heart. Yeah, we are the ones that go out to the world and we show the love of Jesus to anyone and everyone. All right? And chapter 4, he talks about the Holy Spirit, our need and dependence upon the Holy Spirit. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He talks about spiritual gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus and how God, through the Holy Spirit, is changing and transforming us and helping us to be the men and women he has called us to be. And then he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, how Jesus ministered here on earth. Yeah, he wants to give us that same kind of experience, that same kind of power, all right? He wants to live out in his life within us. Chapter 5, it talked about our walk in God. It talked about we should walk in love. We should walk in light. We should walk in wisdom. And then he compares this walk to a marriage relationship. All right? The church becomes the bride of Christ. And it reflects the character of Christ. Yeah, this bride is ultimately clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the work of the bride is to surrender, to submit to God, and to allow God to do its great work within us. And here in chapter 6, we come to an important verse. In verse 10, it tells us we're in a great controversy. We're in a battle. We're in a struggle day by day. The battle is between Christ and Satan. And this great controversy is between right and wrong. Yeah, and this great controversy, and Satan paints an ugly picture of God. And Jesus Christ came to this world to show us the truth, what God is really like. And here in chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, he's coming to a conclusion, all right? Finally, he's coming to the end of his book. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong, all right? But not in your own strength, because you're in a spiritual battle, and you can't fight this spiritual battle alone. You need help. It says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And today, hey, I want us to think about this. I want us to pray over this. I want us to be strong in the Lord. When he is living and reigning in our hearts, we are strong in the Lord. This shouldn't take us by surprise. Back in chapter 1, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul is praying here. He's praying for the church. He's praying that they will understand what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. And when we come to chapter 1 and verse 19, yeah, I'm in Ephesians 1, verse 19, okay? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? All right? Yeah, he uses the word power twice. He wants us to know, he wants us to experience the power of God in our lives. Yeah, that he's working in our lives, transforming us, helping us to be the men and women he has called us to be, men and women that reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's calling us to this. And you know, Jesus, hey, he knows all about this great controversy that we're in. He since his birth, remember at his birth, Herod tried to stop Jesus. Yeah, all the babies 2 years and younger. Yeah, Satan was working through Herod and to put those children to death. Jesus had a death decree put upon it. Remember the temptations Jesus went through. Yeah, after he was baptized, he was led into the wilderness. Remember, Satan's going to come to him and say, hey, if you are the Son of God, and now remember, he was just baptized, okay? And in his baptism, God speaks. He says, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And Satan comes along and says, if you are the son of God, turn these stones. He's been fasting for 40 days, all right? And they probably look like little loaves of bread. He probably said, hey, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus is thinking to himself, and he says, hey, I know I am the Son of God because God spoke. And you know what? You are the children of God. Yeah, that is what Paul's message was in Ephesians, that you are accepted by him. You are chosen by him. All right? Yeah, that you are adopted by him. You belong to him. You are part of his family. Yeah. And he's trying to get Jesus to doubt the word of God. And just like he tried to get Jesus to doubt the word of God in this great controversy, in this battle, he's trying to get you and I to doubt the word of God, to doubt the love of God, to doubt that God cares about you and me. Yeah, don't let him deceive you. Don't let him fool you. All right? Yeah, don't let him trip you up and knock you down, okay? And not only that, he takes Jesus to a temple. He puts him on the top of the temple, and he says, hey, just jump off, all right? Jump off the temple, and the angels of the Lord, and he quotes scripture, yeah, and they're going to take you down, and you will land safely. Now, I don't have to go up on top of the roof of the church, all right, and jump off. That's not what the Bible said for us to do. It's not what it said the Messiah would do. And they said the Messiah would come down from the top of the temple and you would see the angels with him, and that's how you would know that he would be the Messiah. Wow. Yeah, it's not what the scriptures said. It was what man taught. And Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. I'm not going to go by what man teaches. I'm going to go by the word of God. And he says that we should not tempt the Lord. Okay? And then there's a third temptation. Remember, he's going to take them up to a high place, and he's going to show them all the worlds. And he's going to say, hey, you can have it all. You know, Jesus, you and I are in this great battle, this great conflict, and it's going to cost you your life. You're going to go to the cross. You're going to suffer pain and in agony, and you're going to die a terrible death. But I got an easier way. Yeah, just bow down and worship me, and I'll give it to you. It's all yours. You can have it. Yeah. And that's what Satan wants from us. He wants us to worship him. He doesn't want us to remain true and loyal and obedient to God. But Jesus did remain loyal and obedient to God. And through his victory, you and I can experience victory. Through his power, through Christ in us, we can overcome every sin, every temptation in this great controversy that God throws at you and me. Why? Because we are God's sons. We are his daughters. We belong to him, and he calls us. Yeah, we belong to his family, and he calls us to victory. Today, Christ wants to live out his life within you. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the angel told Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. Yeah, today, in our struggles, in our battles, in our temptations that come our way, in our trials, in our time of testing, the good news is, hey, God can give us victory through Jesus Christ. Yeah, the victory is ours. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm 18 and in verse 2. It's a beautiful psalm. I love reading the psalms. If I ever feel tired, which is often now, at my age, he says, he gives us these wonderful promises. And look at what David says here. He says in Psalm 18, verse 2, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Yeah, David nails it. Yeah. And whenever you feel tired, whenever you feel weak, whenever you feel like you can't go on, and whenever you feel like throwing it in, that David did the only thing he could do. He turned to God. And we need to turn to God too. And in him, we will find strength. We will find help to continue on. You know, it's interesting. In Psalm 33, David says, he's writing and he says, hey, the king should not trust in his army. And that's true. David had an army and they were well trained. They were great fighters. But he knew something. He knew that without the help of God, without the strength of God, without the power of God, his army, no matter how good it was, didn't stand a chance. He says a king should not trust in horses. Yeah, horses are big and beautiful and wonderful animals. But hey, they don't give you victory. A great army won't give you victory, but God can give you victory. and in our spiritual battles from day to day, it is God and Him alone who can give us victory. Yeah, when I grew up, my dad every day would always bring home the newspaper. Yeah, you guys remember newspapers, you know? And he would bring home the newspaper, and my dad would like to read the front page section. He always wanted to see what was the latest news and things that were happening throughout the world. And I got the sports page. And I love looking through the sports page because at the end of the sports page was the comics. And one of the comics I liked was Dennis the Menace. Not that I tried to be Dennis the Menace, but there was a lot of good things that Dennis will say, all right? And in this one cartoon, they were in Mr. Wilson's house, all right? Mr. Wilson's the neighbor, the old guy, and him and Dennis have this strange relationship. And they're coming out of the Wilson's home, and their hands are full of cookies. Mrs. Wilson was making cookies and gave filled the kids' hands with them. And they're walking out of the house with big grins on their face. And Joey, Dennis's friend, this little kid, says to Dennis, "What did we do to deserve this?" Dennis looks at him and says, "We didn't do anything to deserve this. It's because Mrs. Wilson is so nice." Now, when I think about the grace of God, when I think about the plan of salvation, when I think about Jesus Christ, what did we do to deserve that? Yeah, we didn't do anything. It's because our God is so good that He pours out His love, His mercy, His grace upon each one of us. God has given us wonderful promises in His Word to help us day to day in this spiritual battle, in this conflict that we face. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." In 2 Timothy 1:7, it talks about God has given us a spirit. Yeah, this spirit is not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of power, of love, and as of a sound mind. Wow. Yeah, this is what I receive by receiving Jesus Christ. Hey, in the Gospel of John 1:12, yeah, it says, "As many as received Him, He gave them the right." Yeah, the word is actually dunamis in the Greek. It's the power to become the children of God. I read a story about a blacksmith, and one day he was pounding away on some steel he was forging. And he had a friend that was in there, and his friend and him were talking about the troubles that they face from day to day. Life isn't easy. It never was easy. I don't think it was to be easy, because it brings us to our knees. It humbles us. It brings us to God. And the blacksmith and his friend were talking about these things, and the blacksmith said, "You know, here I am." And he says, "You know, I have found out that there's cheap steel, and then there's good steel, all right? And how do you know the difference between them? Hey, you put them in the fire. They go through trials, all right? Yeah, you put them in the fire. And what happens to the cheap steel? It breaks. It becomes brittle. You can't use it. But the good steel, all right, it flexes, it bends, and you can shape it and mold it without breaking. It becomes stronger by going through the fire." And him and his friend concluded that, hey, that this is why God allows trials and temptations to come into our lives. Yeah, and He's making us stronger. He's helping us to become more like Him. It teaches us to depend upon Him. You know, I read this week about a church, a church in Florida. Back in 2007, there was a tornado that hit Florida. And this tornado, of all things, it hit the church. All right? It hit a church in Lake City, Florida. And this church was built to take a Category 4 tornado, 100 up to 150 mile an hour winds. And when the tornado hit the church, it just tore it to shreds. All right? And afterwards, yeah, the people were talking. And it says, the pastor said, you know what? The church is just a building. He said, it's the people. The people are the church. And God's going to rebuild us. And he's going to make us stronger. And he's going to make us bigger. And he's going to make us better. Yeah, the church member said things like, God is going to use this tragedy and turn it into a blessing. And one member said, we don't need the building because we have Jesus. Yeah, that's what God wants for his people. Well, there are many blessings I can talk about. And in John chapter 15, Jesus says, hey, I am the vine, you are the branches. And without me, that's right, I heard that. Yeah, you can do nothing. You can't do anything without him. And the key is we need to abide in Jesus. We need to take time each and every day to sit at his feet, to read his word, to claim the promises of his word. If we don't do those things, then we can't bear fruit. He wants us not just to bear fruit. And it says there in John 15, hey, I want you to bear much fruit, you know, and he will prune even the branches that are bearing fruit. Now, that doesn't make sense to me, but I'm sure it makes sense to God. Yeah. And he does it so that we can bear more fruit. And what does he mean by bearing fruit? Well, I think it's character transformation. I think it's helping others to know that God is a God of love and mercy and grace. In Colossians chapter 1, turn with me. After Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right? And I'm going to tie this in with a text in Revelation, all right? I want to go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. No, that's not the text I'm looking for. No. I know. My mind. Hope of glory. This is what I want. 27. Colossians 1:27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. All right, it's a mystery. To the Gentiles,